Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. This morning we come to join all of creation in worship of God. Welcome, bienvenidos, to those of you who are here in the sanctuary or tuning in from home or hospital beds or cars or overseas. God has called each of us here, and you are welcome in this time of worship. Please join me in the call to worship that's printed in your bulletin. Seek God, and you will live. Busca a Dios y vivirás. Seek the one who makes the seven stars and Orion, who turns the shadow of death into morning and makes the day dark with night, who calls the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the earth. Dios es su nombre. Please turn in your blue hymnal to number 648, Morning Has Broken, 648, and stand as it suits you.
We will sing stanzas 1 in English, stanza 2 in Spanish, and stanza 3 in English.
Thank you.
And now please turn in Sing the Journey to number 89. The Green Book, Sing the Journey, number 89.
As we join together in lifting the concerns of our hearts to God, here are a few of the people and situations we'll be praying for. Marie Clements is undergoing surgery tomorrow, and Janet Yoder and Tanya Schrock are both recovering from surgeries. Pauline Kennel is requesting prayers this morning for her son, Joe, who is living in California and fighting cancer. He's been hospitalized because of the severe side effects of his treatments. And we want to remember the family of Rosemary Fry, who died on Monday night. Let's pray together. God, you search us. You know us. You know when we sit down and when we rise up. You discern our thoughts from far away. Even before these prayers we bring to you today are spoken, you know what is on our hearts. We can't fathom the completeness of your knowledge of us. You care about our bodies, which you designed and wove together. We lift up this morning those who are dealing with concerns of the body. We pray for Marie, for Tanya, for Janet, for Joe. We also continue to pray for healing in the body of Caleb Gunawan. We ask especially today for traveling mercies for Caleb and for his family as they head to New York, and for your presence with their whole extended family gathering here and in Indonesia to celebrate the marriage of Chika's sister. You formed our inward parts, And even now you are knitting together a little one in RJ Maldonado. We pray for RJ, Jacob, and all of their family as they prepare to welcome this little girl. You attend to us in our death and in our mourning. When we come to the end, we are still with you. We thank you for the life of Rosemary Fry, for the light that she was to so many people. We pray for her family as they mourn. You have created us to be in community, connected with others. We thank you this morning for bringing Kent and Jill Miller into this church family, and for the many others joining our church in the coming weeks. We thank you for the Goshen College community, and we ask you to make yourself known to the students who are settling in and finding their way, and to the faculty and staff who work with them. We pray for the families and students and community members who are participating in the fun walk and run this afternoon, and pray that it will be a time of bonding, of support and joy. We thank you for the many generous people who make it possible for the Student Aid Fund to do good work. God, we confess that the world is hurting, and we confess that we don't know what to do about it. We pray that you will open our hearts to see opportunities to join in your healing and hope, even when those opportunities feel to us like a drop in the bucket. Give us the courage and the sense of agency to do what we can in a hurting world, and to trust that you, God, are very, very big. We bring these concerns and these longings and these joys to you in trust and in love, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Children, you are invited to come forward now for children's time, and Kent and Addie are going to lead us in a song that's new to our congregation, but is one of our heart songs, because those of us who already knew it thought, this is a great song, and this needs to be one of our heart songs. It's written by a Goshenite, and is one that pulls our community together in a really nice way.
I surrender. Good morning, everyone. How many of you, young and old, have ever played hide and seek? Wow, you guys are going to have to teach this game to a lot of people out here. How many of you like the hiding part the best? How many of you like the seeking part the best? All right, nice. Well, we're going to push pause on the hide and seek idea here for just a second. When I was in high school, I took a trip to Guatemala for a month. And I went with some other youth and some adult leaders, but none of us knew each other before this trip. So some of us were excited, some of us were nervous, some of us just felt really overwhelmed and tired. We were in a different country, we were with different people that we were just getting to know. We couldn't talk to our families the way we had in the past. Because there were 50 of us, and we only had one telephone to share for 1 hour every night between all 50 of us. No computer, no email, no cell phones, no social media. So what were we going to do? Well, our adult leaders suggested that we read over and over and even memorize Psalm 139, which is the scripture that Phil will be preaching from later today. So I did. And as I kept looking at this psalm, I kept seeing more ways that God was with me in this adventure. And it was a little bit like hide and seek. And so here's what I found. That even though I was far away from home, God was still with me. Even though I was far away from my church family, God's people were still there with me. It was just new ones that I hadn't met before. Even though I wasn't surrounded by the same trees and hills and plants and insects that I was used to back home, I was still in the midst of everything that God had created. It was just different to me. And even though I was in a different country with a different language to learn, and the churches that I visited worshiped in very different ways than I was used to, I realized that God had been at work in those churches and in those people long before I ever got there. 2 weeks ago, some of us here at church were on an adventure. There were 44 of us, roughly, from College Mennonite, and we were up at Camp Friedenswald for the weekend. Some of you were there. Yes, you recognize your faces. Now, we never played hide and seek. At least, I don't think we did. But we were constantly looking for new things that God had provided for us in creation. And we got lost in wonder many times while we were spending this weekend together. And here are some of the things that we learned. That even though we were in a new place to some of us, God was there. Even though we weren't in the church building for times of worship, we were still worshiping God while we hiked, while we gathered around campfires, and while we played. And even though we were surrounded by some different plants and animals and insects, everything that God created was still there around us. And we even learned some new things about how plants and even insects can help us stay healthy. God's people had already been at work at that place in Friedenswald, caring for the animals and the plants and the insects that live there in all the different ecosystems there on camp, long before we arrived. And we got to see what was happening because of that. So, this is the infomercial part of Children's Time. You guys can all get to come on one more of these retreats if you haven't signed up yet. So, check out in the hallway with your parents. Now, when you get back to your seats, I want you to listen to when Phil reads the scripture of Psalm 139. Listen closely, because this psalm does talk a little bit about the game hide and seek with God. And the very last verse, I think, is a good one for right now. It reminds us that when we come to the end, God is still with us. So it's the end of children's time, and God and God's people and God's creation are all still with us. Amen. You can get your worship bags and head back to your seats.
Please turn in your purple Sing the Story books to number 121. 121, Nothing is Lost on the Breath of God.
Who is our pastoral team leader, is preaching the sermon this morning. Please join me in prayer. God, we thank you for all that creativity you used in creating Phil. We thank you for being intimately present with him throughout his whole life. You have done good work in him, and you continue to do good work in each one of us. I pray that during this time together, we will each sense your work in us, opening us up to your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
The grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Our scripture this morning is from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 18. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to an end. I am still with you. The word of the Lord. One of the projects that we might do here at College Mennonite Church is to have a digging project. I don't know if we would be allowed to do that here on campus, but get some digging equipment, a backhoe, and start digging down into the earth as far as we can go in order to find the depths of the earth where each of us was made in secret, woven in secret. The divine weaving factory, if you will. Has anybody seen God's knitting needles? Actual cosmic knitting needles that were used to knit us together in our mother's womb? Most of us, maybe even all of us, recognize pretty quickly that these are metaphors. These are not meant to be taken literally. There are ways that we speak about God to express things we don't really know how to say, things that we experience but can't utter. And so when we speak, as we spoke last week, about God being the great I Am, we spoke of the tetragrammaton, the four letters making up the name of God, being so holy they're not to be spoken, which mean I am who I am. God exists. God is being itself, the source and ground of all life. That's big. That's huge. That's an abstract kind of thought that blows our mind. But that's not all that we can say about God, because it's not all that we experience about God. If you wander through the woods, any naturalist can tell you, that plant is edible and that plant is not edible. If you eat that plant, this will happen, and if you eat that plant, you'll be okay, and this will be the result for you. And the reason that we know those things is because of experience over many, many centuries. We know what plants can be eaten. We know what plants taste good. We know how to turn certain foods that would be inedible, eaten raw, into foods that can be processed and nutritious and valuable. And in the same way, over the course of many generations, many centuries, many millennia, our experience as people of God teaches us something that gets passed on from one generation to the next. And one thing that we have learned about God, that we affirm in our tradition, is that God is at once being itself, grand, universal, and at the same time, deeply personal. That God is near to each one of us. In the same speech that Paul gives to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17, Paul says, God is the ground of being. God is that which we live and move and have our being. And God is also very near to each one of us. And that nearness is experienced as love. Being is love. And that love is personal to each one of us with extraordinary knowledge and awareness and care and tenderness to every aspect of our lives. In Genesis chapter 32, the story of Jacob reaches its climax. If you recall, Jacob stole the blessing and then the birthright of his father, Isaac, stole it from the older of the two twins, Esau. And Esau swore vengeance upon Jacob. Esau was going to get his revenge. Esau was going to kill Jacob. And so Jacob fled from the presence of Esau and fled, perhaps you might say, from the presence of God. Went to his uncle Laban's house. And Jacob ran afoul over many years of Laban. He became vastly wealthy, but ran afoul of Laban, and so he fled again and found himself returning to where he came from, returning to his brother Esau, fleeing from his uncle Laban. He was stuck. There was no more running for him, no more fleeing from him. He was going to finally have to meet his brother Esau. Now, I've learned a few things from my children. One of the things I learned is avoid spoiler alerts. So if you want to know how that story ends, you can read it for yourself in Genesis chapter 32. I won't spoil that. It's a great story. But what Jacob does on the Wadi Jabbok is that he sends all of his entourage, all of his family, all of his servants, all of his livestock on ahead of him to meet Esau, and he's left alone. This story is told in ballad form in your hymnals in number 503, a great hymn of Charles Wesley. Come thou traveler unknown, if you want to read it there, you can. And so there is Jacob, alone, at night, terrified of what's going to happen to him when he meets his brother Esau the next day. And it is there that he meets God, wrestles with God, the text tells us. Physically comes into contact with God is how the story is told. All night long, wrestling. And as Charles Wesley tells the story, Jacob demands of God to know God's name. Tell me your name. I want to know who you are. Who are you that I'm wrestling with? Who are you that I'm striving with? And in Wesley's telling, Jacob realizes as the dawn nears that God's name and God's nature are love. Pure, universal love thou art, Jacob exclaims in the hymn. Pure, universal love thou art. And after this encounter, Jacob's name changes, and he becomes Israel, 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 the one who struggles with God. And of course, he has his hip injured. But the next day, after this wrestling match, he goes out in front of his entourage to meet his brother with courage, transformed by God's love into a new person. At once being, at once this profound cosmic existence, and at the same time, the most intimate kind of love and personal relationship. For Christians, these two are brought together in Jesus. It is our proclamation of Jesus that expresses for us most fully the reality of the cosmic God and the intimate personal God. In John chapter 1, the text tells us, the evangelist tells us, that all things, everything was created in Christ. Everything was created in Christ. And through Christ, and through Jesus, the divine word, the Logos, everything came into being through Christ. Everything that is Jesus, one with the great God of being. And this Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, lived an intimate personal life, made friends, was a son, was a brother, tended to wounds in his own body and in the bodies of others, walked together with others, healed people in need, ate with sinners. This Jesus being itself becoming one of us. And later in John's Gospel, in chapter 12, Jesus says, I must be lifted up. And the text tells us it's a reference to the kind of death that Jesus would have. Lifted up on the cross, lifted up so that I might draw all to myself. That all creation would be restored, would experience salvation in me. In the sense that as all things emerge, are born, have their existence, in Christ, all things will return to Christ and experience restoration, experience salvation, experience healing. I need a hymnal. We're going to sing, as our response hymn, more words from Charles Wesley. Love divine, all loves excelling, which expresses all of these things. And please go ahead and turn. For those of you who aren't, go ahead and feel free to turn. Joy of heaven to earth come down. The series that we are in, Lost in Wonder, of course, is taken from the last words of this hymn. Lost in wonder, love, and praise. And so our wonder, the wonder that we experience, wonderful, is more than just this sense of vastness. How great are your thoughts, O Lord, I can't attain them. But this wonder is this sense of the personal, the sense of the nearness of Jesus, the sense of being drawn to Jesus, the sense of every fiber of our being intimately connected with the person of Christ. So as you continue this week, I hope, with your 15 minutes of wonder each day, I want you to bring it close to home. I want you to pay attention to the ways that Jesus is near to you. And I want you to wonder at the intimacy and the personal nature of that connection. At the same time, as you continue to wonder at the vastness of cosmic being. Amen.
If you haven't already turned in your hymnals to Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, please turn now to 592, and I invite you to stand if you are able.
Thank you.
This morning, we are welcoming Kent and Jill Miller as new members into our fellowship here at College Mennonite Church. Kent and Jill join us by transfer of membership. They've been attending here for most of the last 9 months. I think that's pretty accurate. And we're excited about the ways that they are already becoming part of our church family. They will each share their faith stories with us.
Good morning. So, I'll get right to it. I wasn't raised in the church. However, my aunts would take me to church and then their loving care, drag my hindtail to the altar, and say a salvation prayer. I was fixed. But after a series of things that happened, one of which was my dear granny went on to see Jesus, at the ripe old age of 17, I came to the saving love and grace of Jesus. And one of my favorite scriptures, other than the psalm that Phil wrote, which is near and dear to my heart, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Oh my, what a future. Kent and I met and married, and this November we'll celebrate 35 years of marriage. Over the years, I've been blessed to see my beautiful daughters, but I've also been blessed to see my beautiful parents and many of my family members come to know and follow Jesus. Danae and Addie are our daughters, and we are and have always been blessed by them. We were given the gift and the loss of our son, Ryan. During that time, he did walk with me, and I felt the leading of Jesus to become a nurse. And so I have been a nurse since 95, and I've been blessed to walk with many in their health journeys. Dr. Graber kindly and graciously allowed me to walk beside him in his practice, and many others. And I currently am blessed to be a hospice nurse. And I stand before you as not only a blessed wife and mother, but I am a granny to three beautiful grandchildren. Oh, what plans he had for me. And I wonder what many more he will have.
She always makes me cry. Unlike Jill, I did grow up in the church. I grew up at Yellow Creek Mennonite, and thought for much of my life that God was one who stood and looked over us, and when we got too happy, God tended to crush us underfoot and put us back in our place. I'm not saying that was my dad's doing by any means, but that's just kind of the image of God that I had at times. And so I felt I better get right with God at a fairly young age. I was in eighth grade, and I remember being at Bible memory camp. I'm sure many of you remember going to Bible memory camp. And I at that point, said yes to the Lord because I wanted to be okay with God and eternity. And after that, I immediately got into playing sports in junior high and high school and kind of walked away. And through a series of other times with our youth group over the years, I kind of had those kind of reawakenings, and they, for lack of a better term, didn't really take all the time. Until I went to college, I went down to Manchester College, and it was one of those times when I, through high school, had gotten pretty good at kind of faking it. When I was around church people, I would act like church people. When I was around the guys in the locker room, I would act like the guys in the locker room. And in college, during my first semester, those worlds collided in such a way that I realized, and I still get emotional over it, I realized that it's really a choice to follow God, right? It's not just something you can be born into and you can walk through all the motions, because that's what I did. And so I followed God, and I remember always in that bed in that dorm room down in North Manchester where that happened for me. After that, God had some kind of crazy plans. I didn't go back to school the following year. Got involved in volunteering with Youth for Christ, met this amazing lady, and God has put us on a journey these last 35 years. I've been privileged to serve in many, many capacities in the church. Pastored a couple congregations. I have worked for Mennonite Mission Network as well as Mennonite Church USA, and had a wonderful time at Amigo Center until I found out I was allergic to everything. So some of you may remember that journey of being allergic to trees, weeds, grass, mold, and dust mites, and I worked in the woods. But again, God has a plan, as Jill mentioned, and so as we continue to try to be faithful in following that, God's taken us many different directions, and most recently to Everence. I'll share a bit about that in a little bit. But what a joy it is to be a part of this congregation, the warm welcome we felt. We've known the staff a long time. Matter of fact, I've joked with Talasha and Daniel and Pamela and Bob about I was a pastor at First Mennonite in Middlebury, and that my next job after that must be coming to College Mennonite as a pastor. I'm just going to be a lay minister, if that's okay. So thank you so much.
And I should add that we do now hold Kent's credentials as a pastor. So we are excited to hold more pastoral credentials here at our church. Kent and Jill, I'll invite you to come forward just a little bit so I can kind of talk to you without turning my back to everybody. You have previously made a confession of faith and have been part of faith communities. We rejoice in your decision to become a member in covenant relationship with our community of believers here at College Mennonite Church. Do you now affirm your faith in God and affirm engaging in God's work in the world? As you become members of our congregation, do you agree to worship, serve, and share in our ministries from both your financial resources and your skills and passions, participating in the giving and receiving of Christian love and counsel within this community of believers? And congregation, do we agree to receive Kent and Jill and open ourselves to fellowship with them, giving and receiving counsel, offering and accepting forgiveness, and joyfully receiving them as partners in our spiritual family and in our mission to the world? If so, you may respond with, "We do." Jill and Kent, I am thrilled to welcome you as members here at College Mennonite Church. We are grateful that you are now part of our church family. You will all get a chance to welcome Kent and Jill at the Everence reception that's going to follow worship. But now, let's welcome them collectively by singing a verse of that song that Kent helped teach us earlier in the service. So you can maybe just stand in the circle and we'll sing to you.
I'm
I got to tell you, it feels like home, not only because I did attend classes here sometimes as a student at Goshen College, but because you have made it feel that way. I'm going to change hats just a bit. I've been with Everence now the last year and a half or so, and one of the things that we're excited to do is to spend time thanking the congregations that we've been involved with. And you as a congregation are one of our top 10 churches in the area. And so we're just thrilled to have this relationship with you. So I want to thank you, but I invite you to thank yourselves. Give yourselves a hand. And so there's, along with myself, several staff who attend here at church as well, Julie and John and Randy. And then we also had Marlene and Steve have joined us from our offices as well, as we will just spend some time this morning afterwards around some goodies tables. There's some wonderful baked goods and some fruit and some sunflower seeds for those who would like to, or if you're like me, you can't eat the gluten. But we've been just so thrilled to have a good relationship, and we have a great relationship not only with all of you as a congregation, but also with the staff. And it's been such a joy as I've gone out into different churches to see how things happen in different congregations and how they value and work with the areas of stewardship in their lives. When I was considering doing something different, about 2 years ago, a little longer than that, I'd had a couple people tap my shoulder about thinking about being an Everence advisor at some point. Hey, Kent, you should maybe think about that. And I wasn't too sure about that, but I did know that I loved working with numbers, and I always thought it was about numbers. But really, what Everence is kind of distinguishes us from other places is that we are really about the relationships. And what a joy it's been to build relationships with so many people in so many churches and in the community. And as I looked at doing something different than pastoring, one of the things that really struck me is a part of our core values at Everence is to find ways to help people bring their faith and their values and their financial decisions together. And so it's just been a wonderful time of working with people personally, but also to watch all of our advisors as they look at the different tools that are available, but to help you make those decisions in ways that are so positive. So thank you to so many of you who participate in the different programs and aspects of Everence. We're just excited to do that. The relationship means a lot to us. This morning, we're going to share with you a few baked goods from Dutch Maid Bakery downtown here, and again, some fruit and some nuts. But we invite you to stop by. You don't have to be an Everence member or have accounts there to come enjoy. Please do that. We'd love to greet you because you as a congregation are very important to us. And thank you for participating in God's mission along with all of us at Everence.
It's time now to bring our offerings forward, and it's another Sunday of My Coins Count, so we're finally going to sing that My Coins Count song. Please join with gusto.
Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, we are grateful that you care for every aspect of our lives. We thank you that you care for every penny our coins count. We thank you that you take us and mold us for your purposes in the world. We thank you that you love us and walk with us, and we thank you that through your Son, Jesus, you are always near. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please turn in your purple books to number 40. Number 40, Sum Landella. And we will sing the first stanza in English, the second in Zulu, and then go back to English in the third stanza.
Benediction, all are invited to welcome Kent and Jill and join in the goodies provided by Everence. Also, children, you are invited to attend Sunday school, which is back there in a hallway. And there are also plenty of Sunday school offerings for adults. So please look in your bulletin to find all of those ideas. And Wednesday night, all of you are invited to come and join in a church family night supper and learning of Spanish. Hear these words of benediction. May the God of peace, who knows you inside and out, invite you into wonder as you go out of this place. Go in peace.